2022 Pro Tour season champion, currently third on the Klipsch Audio Pro Tour leaderboard, Will Asher. Will, you know, it's crazy when I say it out loud, so I really like to hear what you think. But I mean, this is you're entering your 20th year. You know, your 20th year as a professional, 20 years since you won your first event. I mean, just hearing that out loud, where does that make your head go?
Oh, hey.
I mean, it makes me feel old because I'm older than you are. So yeah. But I'm like 20 years, man.
I know. Yeah, my skiing career is older than the people I'm competing against. How about that?
Wow, I never thought of that. And significantly older than some of them. You won your first event well before Charlie Ross was alive.
Yeah, yeah.
I think what's fascinating to me is, you know, we were skiing together, you know, during that part of your career when you got your first win in 2003, and then just to watch you, you know, to watch the way your career's developed and what, so before we go to now, like think back to, you know, those early years, 03, 04, those 05 worlds, what was driving you back then?
That's a really good question. I don't think I've ever got to the bottom of like my motivation or what drove me to do it. I think it was just growing up in an environment where that's what we did. And then having exposure to people that I respected. And then essentially I like built an idea or I created a story in my head of what I thought they were doing. And then like the running motto was, well, if anyone's doing more than I'm doing, they're just doing too much. Yeah. So like that was kind of my, that's the way I seemed to live when I was in those years. And it was just, you know, I had an imprint from quite a young age. I got to ski with Andy from a young age, and I got to see basically what was possible and then what the top guys were doing. And then that essentially took off the filter and it gave me a target to run to. So that really drove me for a long time.
Yeah. And actually, you know, I don't think this is probably something you and I've never talked about. I actually wasn't aware of that. At what point in your life were you skiing with Andy Mappel?
So it was 1999. We were training in England. The weather was so bad. Yeah. It was before the worlds somewhere, probably Italy, I think. So everyone decided to come to Florida, and we ended up training at Andy's place. And I was skiing and. Was, you know, I was riding near Brian at the time. My ski broke. He was like, well, I'll just try my ski. And so I tried his ski, and then I was, you know, 16. I'm out there running 39. I was kind of like, well, okay. But then, you know, that wasn't my ski.
Yeah.
So then suddenly I had to, you know, get back to my ski, and then I'm back on my ski, and I'm, you know, basically trying to running 38 a little bit, kind of scrapping at ones and twos at 39. I'm like, okay, well, but I know there's something else out there.
Wow.
It'd be like seeing an endless wave, I guess, surfing, and then you're just going to travel the world trying to find that endless wave. That was my motivation for a lot of years, just knowing that it existed and it was a real thing.
That's insane to me. Wow. So yeah, because I often wonder, you know, when I, you know, I look at where our careers paralleled, where our paths converge, I often wondered, like, what is it about your brain that sent you into the engineering side of water skiing, and what sent my brain in, you know, to the exact opposite. You know, not to say obviously you think about technique and approach, but I mean, you know, we went completely convergent. That experience had to have an effect on your approach. But was your brain already kind of programmed that way in terms of, you know, searching or trying to understand the way the way your ski worked, or was that the turning point?
Not really. No, that wasn't really my turning. I mean, that wasn't my approach beforehand. It was it was basically a case of, I think my PB was maybe 3 at 39, maybe one to three at 39, something like that. Yeah. And then, so like from one day to the next, I'm gone from like hacking, you know, slack line, get a fast at one, bomb two, S10 at three, to like pretty comfortably running it.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, that tells me a couple of things. It tells me, well, I guess my technique's not that bad. And then I guess my ski sucks. So, I mean, that was kind of the two things I put together in my head. And that was really what sent me down that direction. And you probably know, I never worked on technique ever.
Yeah.
It was just like, if my motto was really, if in doubt, go harder. And then, cause that was all Andy would ever say. It's like, well, you're just not edging hard enough. So, okay, I'll do that more.
Yeah.
And it served me well, cause it really is the hardest thing to do. And then
for sure,
over time you learn to, you know, build in more control and build in more, but really to get that intensity, like reckless intensity, is pretty hard to find.
Yeah. To be able to generate controllable power without taking a real cognitive approach also speaks to, you know, I don't want to say innate ability because I think that's a cop out, but certainly athleticism, which you've, you know, always had in spades. So jump ahead just a little bit then, those early, you know, when you go to 03, 04, 05 then, I mean, at that point in your career, were you already on this path that you're currently on in terms of scores are going to come, you know, if scores need to come second for me to figure this out, they're going to come second, or were you hungry for wins in those earlier years?
I was never hungry for wins, really. I hated, I really did hate competition. That was not something I enjoyed.
What part?
It was the win-lose roller coaster. You know, I've talked about it a few times, but just the emotional high, emotional low. It was just, it's toxic. It really is. And you'll see it crumble people, crumble me. I mean, essentially crumbles everyone unless you can get a grip on it.
Yeah.
What do you mean? It's just depressive. It's, you know, to have that much adrenaline running through the body and be on such a high, you know, and then one weekend it goes well and you can just kind of ride that high, but then the next weekend it doesn't go very well. And then you're just in like, it just wasn't a fun place to be. I mean, it was fine when I was younger, cause I had three events.
Yeah.
You know, and I was relatively consistent, which was good, but I definitely had some pretty heavy lows, later on it was more, you know, you're really just not good enough. So then you got to kind of go back to the drawing board and try and figure out the whole process again. So
what part of your career then do you look back on as, you know, as the years that you enjoyed the least?
Probably like 2013 to 2017.
Yeah.
16, kind of in that range. Yeah. It was just a discovery time, really. It was a time we knew we had to improve, and we knew we had to get some things to be better, and it was just a lot of uncertainty.
Yeah.
But then
through that though, like, cause you know, I know for as well as I know you, I know you're a big pitcher guy. What was the shining light then through that?
You know, Nicole was always great. She's like, you know, big pitcher, other interests. You can't have this one thing. And that was always great to have that. And then, you know, it doesn't matter if you win or lose, the feeling's still the same. Like it doesn't affect, you know, that kind of stuff. That was always great. And then Dave, the relationship with Dave Wingard, it was always great. He just, he was on the discovery path too. Like, I feel like we found each other at the same time. You know, we both we're both trying to reach a common goal at the same time. And we basically learned it together. So it was a comfortable place to fail. And it was a comfortable place to fail like regularly, and we failed a lot, but through failure, it really is the only way to find success.
Yeah.
And to do it in a fit, and it needs to be in a safe setting. Like, you need to be able to fail safely without
explain that.
Well, it's, you know, you try something, if it doesn't work, it's like, all right, well, rethink it. We'll do it again. No problem. Let's try again. You know, it's just, it's not like it doesn't work and it's like, oh, you're a piece of shit. You're a loser. Like,
yeah,
you know, what the hell? You don't know what you're doing. You know, that kind of stuff. And you'll see it in all walks of life, you know, whether it's coaching or just friendships, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. It's, you gotta have a lot of patience. Yeah. You gotta be able to forgive. You gotta be able, gotta be able to fail. Fail's a big part of it.
Yeah, it's like, it's tempering expectations, right? It's like, it's not, and it's in no way setting low expectations, but it's, I think, you know, the way it resonates in my brain is just detachment from specific outcomes, right?
Yeah.
You know, like if you're feeding what fuels you, then you're going to win no matter what. Interesting. And I think that's the hardest thing to find. So, then if you go, you know, through those years where like, at what point then did, because I mean, I watch you ski at tournaments now, you know, and if I rewind a little bit, like towards the end of my career, when I still was, you know, traveling to events with you. Yeah. I mean, I absolutely recognize that you didn't seem to be having as much fun as I remembered, but watching you now, I feel like this looks fun again.
Yeah.
You know what? I mean, is it like, I guess, have you turned the corner then where that, you know, that you feel safe, whether you win, you feel safe, whether you lose, is this more enjoyable right now, these last couple of years?
Yeah, that's probably a big part of it. And I think, I mean, it doesn't matter which way I look at it. Like, I'm at the tail end of my career. Like, I'm not at the beginning of it. So
yeah.
At a certain point, what's the point of being stressed about it? I mean, it's going to end, whether it's, you know, whether it's forced through injury or whether it's a choice of my own. It's just, you know, it's just not there. You know, a bit like, you know, Mike Tyson said in his closing speech, he's like, my heart just isn't in it anymore.
Yeah.
That will probably be the thing. But I'm like, well, what's the point of stressing about it, not enjoying it, not enjoying the people, not enjoying, you know, appreciating the other athletes and everyone around me? You just kind of end up in this bitter cycle that's not fun and not healthy. So,
yeah. So what do you, I mean, now, like, what do you enjoy about it now? You know, like where does that, you know, and I like, excuse me, I have these like flashes in these moments where I'm just like, where I can, like, I want to be there so bad when I see certain things. And one of them was, for me, was last year at an event in Europe. You know, you were running off with longtime friend, longtime competitor, longtime, you know, just someone you've been in this career with from day one, you and Thomas Tagastri having this runoff. And there was just that moment, I think, before your third runoff of the day where, you know, you just reached over and gave him a knock on his arm just to make sure, you know, that he felt the impact that you were feeling. Like for me, that gave me goosebumps, melted my heart. Like, you know, what is it now then? Like, what do you cherish right now? No, you know, and again, admittedly recognizing that whether it's 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, you know, who knows, but what is it that you cherish the most right now then? Knowing that, you know, not that the end is in sight, but that the end is inevitable at some point.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't say I've really thought about it that much.
Yeah.
It's
people love, people love watching you ski. And that probably makes you uncomfortable, but you know, with my occupation, I see different skiers every week, every day, every month. And knowing you well enough, I know this makes you uncomfortable, but people love watching you ski. Like that realization.
I think that, you know,
if you've realized it, that has to be impactful.
So, I mean, I think could be that I'm actually enjoying the way I'm skiing probably for the first time, maybe in my career. And, you know, a bit like an artist or a performer, like I'm excited to showcase it in a way, you know. I think actually some of the things I'm doing are actually like, oh yeah, that's, that you, you know, that's maybe a vision I've had for a lot of years, and I'm like proud of it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think for a lot of years, I just wasn't particularly proud of what, you know, the performance I was putting out or the way I was doing it, or, you know, I just knew there was so much room for improvement.
Yeah.
That it was, you know, it was almost paralyzing in a way, and it was definitely not fun. You know, yeah. I just knew it was, you know, it was going to be a struggle. It's going to be, but I think we've, you know, I would always laugh with Dave. I'm like, you know, one day this has to make sense, right? Like we're doing all this stuff. We're failing so often. Like, surely one day something has to make sense, because right now it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then you kind of, you can fast forward a couple of years from that conversation, and the scores can go up, and then, you know, and now what's quite, you know, quite exciting is I get to actually see people coming and saying, hey, they're enjoying the ski, they're enjoying riding it, they're enjoying watching, you know, the performance that we're doing, the whatever it is, you know, it's inspiring. Yeah. It's, you know, that is very nice. It's
I think that's
more enjoyable
for sure. And I think that realization for skiers at any level, you know, like I encounter this with people I coach, where, you know, they are losing the enjoyment of it when if they even just realized, you know, whether it's like the regional champion, you know, like, hey, you know, when you put your ski on, people stop what they're doing, you know, and I mean, they want to watch you ski. They feel like they've been part of the project. They want to emulate you. They, you know, people, I think we lose sight of that, you know, at any level, you know, people enjoy seeing the artistry of it, you know? And I think that resonates deeply with me. Like, that was when I started enjoying it. When I started going to local tournaments, you know, I was like, damn, I lost sight of this, you know, people enjoy watching this craft. So I think that's powerful for people at any level. So how do you, and then help me help somebody, how do you find that, man? This ability to detach from the outcome. I mean, it's borderline spiritual, but you know, how do you help people that you ski with in terms of, how do you help them not lose sight of the big picture?
Yeah, I think you kind of nailed it. It's like detaching from the outcome. I'm so comfortable failing that, and I have so little emphasis, or I put so little importance on the actual performance itself.
Yeah.
That as messed up as it sounds, I perform so much better.
Yeah.
It's like by literally not caring about the outcome, my outcome is so much better. It's like a cheat code. You know?
It truly is, dude.
One, I'm not stressed. I'm enjoying it. My mind's free to think clearly. I'm comfortable failing. So, you know, days before an event, I'll try random stuff. You know, I'm comfortable to completely change my style if I thought there was something. And I have, I feel like I have changed a lot, you know, the last several years.
I agree.
And it's probably that I see people are very stressed about their performance.
Yeah.
And I mean, I understand it as well, because it's, you know, it is what we do, right?
Yeah.
Buoy count is a very big factor, but it's,
yeah,
you know, I'll ask people, you know, what's your goal today? You know, you're skiing, you're out there, what are you doing? Oh, you know, I really want to run like 3:39. I'm like, okay, well, you're not going to do it. You know, that's really not going to happen, because now that's all you're thinking about. How about you come up with a fun plan that the end result will be you run 3:39 or beyond.
You know? Yeah.
So I think that's a big one. You're just trying. It's weird, but.
Oh, it's true. You know, and I think we're handcuffed to the nature of the sport, how strictly quantitative it is. You know, you're timing every pass, you're counting every buoy. It's hard for people to. I think that is the biggest recipe for success. Is, dude, like, just stop caring so much about the daily result. Like, who cares? Like, because if you look at yourself, like, dude, the body of work. Like, you know, I remind people of this all the time. Like, I'll say, Will Asher's his PB came at 40 years of age. Like, he's been working on this since he was 12. You know. So then just so with that in mind, then like you know, we're into this, you know, the fresh into this 2023 season. You've already had, you know, just some, you know, two really good tournaments, or at least from my perspective, from our perspective, really good events. What drives you for this particular season? You know, you have a new ski that you've put years into, and it's already, you know, claiming great success. Like what drives you for, you know, you got a tournament in 2 weekends. What's motivating you now?
Yeah. I think it's just trying to improve in a way.
Yeah.
I have the ski from last year. I got, you know, I'm comfortable on it. I haven't been able to improve it. You know, I took time off on the winter, so I didn't mess around with it. Then this season I kind of got a late start because mentally I couldn't be bothered to ski.
Yeah.
And then I kind of felt like I got in scramble mode, and then you know how that goes. But
yeah,
I think there's still a lot of room for improvement, and it's just coming. What's motivating me is just trying to understand exactly what's making it work, and then maybe the limiting factors on it. You know, that's kind of my big, kind of my motivation at the minute. You know, where is it flawed? Where is it? Is it me? Is it just, you know, and it kind of comes to a question you asked a little bit earlier on, you know, if you can say anything to other skiers, it's if you've been stuck somewhere, like, you know, a certain score, at a certain point, you've got to question everything you're thinking about, because at a certain point, it could be the stuff that you're actively thinking about is ultimately stopping you from reaching your goal. So just because it's a tip or a coaching point or a bit of advice that sounds sound, it could actually be a limiting factor. So it's, you kind of end up back on this recycle of questioning everything. Okay, well, that worked last year, it got me to this point. Is there a way of doing it cleaner? Is there a way of skipping that step? So instead of two or three keys to get to one point, maybe there's, you know, one key back there that will fix everything. So, you know, always trying to simplify it.
Yep.
So that's kind of where we're at the minute.
Well, I mean, from, you know, obviously lifelong friend and, you know, and like admittedly like just a fan of your craft, man, like really looking forward to watching the rest of the season. I know you have Lake 38 coming up next. From the general water skiing community that I encounter, man, everyone is could not be more excited to see how this season goes for you.
Awesome. Thank you.